All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24. I just want to read one scripture to explain something. He said, sing to the Lord. Let me start from 23. All the earth, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Now, focus on 24. He said, tell of his glory among the nations. His glory are his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Do you understand? What he's saying is this. Tell of his glory among the nations. Tell all the peoples his wonderful deeds. That is, his glory is manifested in the wonderful things that he has done. Now, bear that in mind. What I want to explain is this. Glory manifests in many forms. Now, let me explain this. They can tell you now that Bill Gates arrived. Maybe a man arrived at the airport. And because Bill Gates is coming to Nigeria, the Minister of Trade was there to welcome him. Minister of Finance, who also came from the U.S., Okonjo-Iweala, right, is there. And because our CBN governor also knew him, he arrived. And the man is coming at the airport. Three of Nigeria's choicest rulers are there at the airport. And of course, they want to show you. We always do that thing. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but we do it a lot. There are a lot of Atilogu dancers on one side and Ray Bile on the other side. All kinds of people are just jumping up and down. And the man, you know, you think you're impressing him. Maybe he comes and says, what is this fool so silly? You know, and you don't realize that's what he's thinking. I'm not saying that's what he's thinking. It's possible. Do you ever watch this film? Look who's talking. That one of that little child. The one that the child was in his crib. And the grandmother came and said, doo, 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 doo. The child looked and said, man, this woman has gone crazy. He said, oh, she's gone. That is, why is she behaving like this? And one of my friends told another joke in that light. He said, the child, this, you know, that adults are making faces at the child, saying, doo, 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 doo. Just talking, playing with the child, making funny sounds. The child was thinking that, what's wrong with them? Why can't they talk normally? That is what you are doing sometimes to impress somebody. But he's wondering why you are being so stupid. You know, that kind of thing. Anyway, let us assume that all these things happened. And we are there jumping up and down, feeling good. And then the masquerade is growing down to the growing up to the 10th floor. Just increasing. And people are somersaulting. The day they did that for the first lady, when she arrived from Abuja, was at the airport. They said, okay, I went to wait for somebody else. Then she was there. I said, let's just go wait for the first lady. To my shock, she didn't notice anything. She just shook a few hands, entered the car, and off. And I talked to myself. Hundreds of people gathered. She didn't even notice them. Now, nothing is bad. Get my phone. It's not bad. Okay? It's just one of those things. No, don't go around criticizing everything. Some things are not bad. They are not good. They are just for those who don't have better things to do. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So let everybody serve his own function in life. They cannot be you. Okay? So, at the end, assuming that Bill Gates arrived. And then you buy Guardian the next day. And they describe that he arrived at Abuja Airport in his glory. That's what I'm coming to. What has the reporter called his glory? That is, maybe he flew down in a private jet. Let's assume, private jet. And then a few people came with him, all very rich men. And then they saw the pomp and ceremony that went with his arrival. So you call that his glory. Now, think about it really. Is that his glory? Really? No. You want to see Bill Gates' glory? Put on a computer. Windows XP. That's Bill Gates' glory. Office 2000. That's Bill Gates' glory. Windows Media Player. That's Bill Gates' glory. The computers that are running on Microsoft products all over the world. That's really Bill Gates' glory. But it's coming, it's attended with some ceremony which you can interpret as his glory. In the same manner, when the cloud fills the temple, the cloud really is not the glory of God. It is just a physical manifestation at that point that God is present in his power. Do you understand my point? So what he was saying here is, tell amongst the nations of his glory. Actually, what that glory is, the glory is the mighty deeds that he has done. Are you getting what I'm going to say? The glory of God is not that halo you paint around the head of Jesus in photographs. it is not the cloud per se that fills the temple. Really, those are just like the arrival of a great king, but that is not really his glory. The glory is the fact that he rules over a kingdom with power. All the dancing and up and down that surrounds them is not really the, but you can describe that, that is the glory of a king. Really, it is not. But it's a manifestation in a particular form of the fact that he's a king. Now, you are getting what I'm making. So you see many expressions of God's glory in the Bible. But really, when you talk about glory, he's talking about divine ability that's resident within him. Did that make any sense? If I did, say amen. Good. Now, let's now go back to where we started. Romans chapter 3. It said, all have sinned, and for that reason, they have become short of the glory that God has placed inside them. Get my point? That when God made Adam, he said, be fruitful and multiply. All have sinned. They are no longer fruitful and they are no longer multiplying. As a consequence of sin. So he said, cursed is the earth because of you. That is, the earth will no longer yield for you its increase. Meaning, sin stopped the earth from yielding its increase. That is, Adam sinned and the earth stopped yielding its increase. Does that make sense? In the same manner, we can easily understand that the glory of God that God gave to Adam is that the earth should have been yielding its increase for Adam. Now, follow me what I'm saying. So, you find out that for prosperity to come upon the earth, actually, real prosperity is the glory that we are talking about. That is, God is saying is that when there is sin, you find out that men cannot even understand the physical laws of prosperity. Are you getting the point I am making? They begin to do things, you know, I said somewhere along the line, that spiritual things always takes form in the physical. So you find out that God wants to give prosperity to the people. One of the things he does is use the principle of Isaiah chapter 40. People will mount up the high mountains and start telling the people, behold your God. They start telling them, you can do it. The power of positive thinking, possibility thinking, think and grow rich. They start telling them, think. They start talking to them. They are speaking kindly to Jerusalem. But the men who started speaking, what happened was that by virtue of the purging blood of Jesus, he cleaned their eyes and they were able to see the glory of God. And they now began to declare it amongst men who could see them, human beings, physically. Am I making sense? No, let me explain what I'm going to say very well. That is, listen, there are laws that God has placed on the earth that will cause men to prosper. But what sin does is, let me show you what sin does. Open to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was talking here, you know, who shall I send? Send me, all those kind of things. After he said, here am I, send me, in verse 8, in verse 9. And he said, that is God was speaking to him, go and tell these people, gosh, the words, listen, words are very powerful. What you say to people can either make them or kill them. When God wanted to do something to the people, he told Isaiah, go and talk to them. What will you say to them? Keep on listening. But do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. What you will do by saying these things to them is you will render their hearts, verse 10, of these people insensitive, and their ears dull, and their eyes dim. The consequence of all this is that they will see with their eyes, but they won't understand anything. He said, let them see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts. What is this? They will see with their eyes, hear with their eyes, ears, but they will not understand anything from what they are perceiving. How did this start? It by saying something to them. This is what I want to understand. What God is saying is that you are pulling them down from the glory of God. For that reason, Isaac Newton will sit under a tree. I hope you know Isaac Newton was a very, very strong believer. I knew he was a Christian. Go and read the Encyclopedia Britannica, is there, when he tells the story of his life. He was a very strong Protestant. He used to write essays on doctrinal matters. He was learning in the scriptures. Just open Encyclopedia Britannica and it's written there clearly. That's where I read it. So he would sit under a tree and apple will fall, like they say. Mango trees were falling all over Africa. I hope you know that. Nobody saw anything. Orange kept falling. Cocoa kept falling. Everything kept falling. But men were seeing with their eyes, hearing with their ears, but not understanding anything with their hearts. Why? Because men sinned and they fell short as a consequence of the glory of God. I hope I'm making sense. That is, till today, men are doing business in the wrongest of ways. Let me give you a very good example. We traveled to Benin to go and buy a car. You know, there's something we're doing with it. So because I knew Benin well, I let some of the pastors in my church there. There are cars being sold in Enugu. But for the same quality of car, there is a 100,000 naira difference between Enugu here and Benin, 3 hours drive away. So several times men enter their cars, drive to Benin, carry money, buy a car there, drive it back to Enugu. Ask the Enugu man why he's not selling his car. Do they manufacture cars in Benin? No. They buy also as the people in Enugu are buying. Yet they are driving business to Enugu every day because of covetousness. Render the eyes of these people dull. They will perceive things with their... Look, men... I was telling a story about Henry Ford. Business is bad, many people say. So what do? They increase prices and increase profit margin. Henry Ford said, what we need to do is to sell more. The way by which you can sell more is to drop the prices. You must be crazy. They say, business is doing bad. We have to reduce wages and lay people off. And the first said, we should actually double their wages because when we do it, they work harder. They say, you must be crazy. He did all these things and he was on top alone and not beneath. You know, I told that Christians like quoting that without really understanding that they have practical meaning. That is, the ability to understand sound business principles is part of the glory of God, we are saying. To be able to discern truth. I'm not talking about divine truth that did Mary remain a virgin after delivering Jesus Christ or didn't. And you camp around that, the Catholic, you say, yes, it's a blessed Virgin Mary. The Protestant said, the Bible said, until the birth of the child. Somebody asked me, I said, I don't know, I don't care. I said, I don't know. I don't care. No, get my point. I don't give a damn. I don't care. That's true. There are things that don't bother. That's not what I'm talking about, divine truth. What kind of truth is that? We are talking about real life. Decoding things that affect practical life every day from the word of God. It's what we're talking about. Did Jesus die on Friday and rise up on Sunday? The whole of Christendom believes it. Do you understand my point? I personally don't. It's not possible that he died on Friday or rose on Sunday, because he would have been there for only 2 days and two nights. And he said himself, 3 days and three nights. Now, that is not my problem. I won't come here to be... look, that is not what I'm saying. Remember I told you that the Bible said, no, you know, there are things Christians just carry, you know, Sunday is a holy day. Who told you? No, who told you Sunday is holy? When Paul said, let nobody judge one day superior above another, I mean, for you. But again, what I'm saying, that these things don't mean anything. I go to church almost every Sunday. The church I attend, we meet on Sundays. But you know the things that Christians are very funny anyway. This is just by the way. Orthodox churches meet on Sunday. They are also Orthodox. Pentecostals meet on Sunday. And they also all meet every day of the week. There's a Redeemed Church near my house. They wake you up with prayer every morning. One day I'll let them and say, this is where they go walk. I've been away. They don't know me that maybe it's different people that come. So what's the problem with Sunday? No, honestly, what's the problem? Let me tell you the uniqueness of Sunday. We wear fine cloth on Sunday. That is the uniqueness on Sunday. And even those who don't believe in God, they go to church on Sunday. Usually those who come during the week either strongly believe in God or they have serious problems. Those are the two reasons people go to church. You either strongly believe in God or you have serious personal problems. And you know, God is the wastebasket for all people's problems. When there's nowhere else, they throw it upon God. Cast your bodies upon the Lord. So, to the wastebasket. Anyway, praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is this. Ability to understand truth. That's not what we're talking about. Which day is superior, which day is not, all those kind of things. That is not the point. Those are not issues. Those are not issues. How many wise men visited Jesus? Were they three? So the Bible never said three. Just said wise men from the east. They only gave three different kinds of gifts. We know, but I won't preach that to you. You know, those things don't matter, Jesus Christ. Go and get doctor in divinity expounding whether the gold was pure gold from Ofa or the one from Ghana. No. But that the gospel will enlighten a man's heart, his eyes. That like Joseph, he will see a problem coming immediately from heaven. He will see the glory of God concerning that problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the problem I told you I had before was that I didn't understand the success principles men were teaching, how it related to the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's just that I connected it. That in their own lives, you know, Jesus said, John had light, and you rejoiced in his light for a season. Do you understand my point? That is, in their own lives, God connected them with light. And then because of the light that they have, they saw the glory of God. What is the glory of God? A man sat down and he just understood how joining wires can produce light. Before that, incandescent bulbs like this were not possible. And it worked. Even Muslims now buy electric bulb. Do you follow my point? If you go down to the depths of science, the real scientists have faith in God. Those who shout they are atheists, they really are just philosophers. They don't know anything. Do you understand my point? They don't know Jack. They don't know anything. Because the glory we are talking about, men, look, take something like Africa, those days. The men kept on grinding into further darkness. And their darkness was always real, tangible. What I mean by real and tangible is that if plague enters their village, apart from the mercy of God, it will kill everybody. Let me give you a simple example. AIDS. When AIDS entered Africa, it will wipe large populations out. But when it enters a place where understanding has gotten to before it, these developed countries, they say AIDS will go catch you. By virtue of men who have deposited light into other people, giving it their heart, foundations of science, these guys will begin to sit down and they are trying to race against HIV. But when men had no light, HIV will be saying, all the men to the right, all the ladies to the left, two of you die today, two of you die tomorrow. Darkness does not permit them to be able to challenge it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, this is in every part of life. Go and read the story of Benghazi. The man was not a magician. That Benghazi, for those who do not know, at 33, as a black man, was the chief of pediatric neurosurgery in Johns Hopkins. All right? Now, that was a feat. In fact, they asked the man once that, do you have any problem with white patients? He said, no, I never have a problem with white patients. The problems I have are with black patients. You know, he's a black man. Why? He said, a white man reasons like this. They come in, they see him as a consultant. Young guy, 33. And he's black. So you know how they reason? Say, for him to get that job, he must be too good. The blacks come in, they see him. Black man, Johns Hopkins University. All this quota system, they just elevated him to show us that blacks are also important. He said they are the only patients that have doubted his ability, the blacks. The whites just think that for a black man to get here, he must be damn good. So they rather go to him. That his position is a sign of his ability. But his brothers think that his position is a sign of the whites trying to integrate them. And thereby putting mediocres in places. Anyway, that's by the way. But the point I want to make is this. The guy made waves in doing many things. But he did not used to do things by chance. He understood what he was planning to do. There was one case, one young man that had an accident that he wanted to treat him in a particular way. And the biggest voices in the hospital said, no, you can't do it. You will kill the boy. Hi. He said, this thing will work. This boy was in coma, breathing with a machine. This thing will work. They said, no. Then the main voice against him went on leave. He quickly rushed in, did it, and the boy survived. But he woke up out of his coma. And they discharged him and he went home. He wasn't guessing. He understood. This point I'm coming to. Divine light. What it does is to open your eyes to see what others are not seeing. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, you will wake up and say, ah, if I do this and do this, everybody in Enugu will pay me 20 naira a day. I mean, you're not, it's not, Father God, move their hearts. They don't need this thing, but let them buy it anyway. That is not confession of what you are talking about. That God will just open. Look, I was these days I move with around with a few men, you know, in church because I got to know people and the business people and the way I see the way they are thinking. And look, they just say, look, if you do this, do this, do this, this and that. And if you do this, that makes you an instant millionaire. And one guy was saying the other day, look, I told one of my friends who's a lawyer, if he does this, he'll be a millionaire. And he explained to me what the guy needs to do. He's an engineer. He said, but the guy didn't do it. You know, you guys, the point I'm making is this. I told you earlier, my personal persuasion is that all we need in Nigeria currently is what? Peace. And by virtue of the glory that the precious blood of Jesus has allowed their eyes to see, prosperity will definitely come. I told somebody, I said, give us at this space 10 years, we'll catch up with every country on the earth. He said, it is not possible. All I just remember was 2 Kings chapter 7. By this time tomorrow, a basin of wheat will be sold for 1 shekel, and I can say, ah, even God was supposed to open the windows of heaven. How can this thing be? Forget this man. He's looking at people like himself. I am looking at people like myself. Men who are making dangerous investments, and I am sure God in heaven will pour water upon their seed. Do you get my point? They're not taking risk. What I mean by taking risk is that it's not as if they are being stupid. They are seeing what somebody else is not seeing. The glory of God is that you have the ability to produce what others can't produce by virtue of what you have heard. Remember, go and tell these people this. That way you render their hearts dull. Somewhere else, after he had told them all that, he said, now go and tell them this. If you tell them this, you speak kindly to Jerusalem, you will comfort her. In the same manner, the word of God comes to you constantly as a comfort to your soul, as a strength for your arms. It's strength. Look, listen, men are hearing it. I've told you before, one of the problems we have is that most people who preach are preachers. You understand my point? You don't get the point. So when a Christian who's a scientist, the glory of God alights upon his eyes and he sees things, he won't come and declare, oh, the Lord was showing me this morning that the atom actually interacts in this particular fashion. You know, he won't preach it like that. Nobody will give him a microphone. Nobody. When he's going to teach, he's going to just enter a university class and talk normally. He will do his research and publish it in a journal. And of course, the journal will not publish "to God be the glory." They won't publish it. They take out the truth and publish it and make it seem that truth comes naturally. Listen, Elihu told Job, it is God that makes us wiser than the beasts of the field. All have sinned and their eyes became dull. They couldn't do much more than the beasts of the field. But because of the precious blood of Jesus, that is the gospel of Jesus. That is, listen, the reason why you are not productive is because sin has deadened your understanding. Jesus said, I will cleanse your conscience from dead works. You believe in me, listen, I will forgive all your sins and give you life. And that life is the light of men. That when light shines upon your heart, you will see things that you were not seeing before. Simple. They said, there is no money in this place. He said, money. And you know, I told you once that somebody told me that Bill Gates, if you pour money on the ground, you won't bother picking it because it makes money faster being Bill Gates than if you had to pick it free of charge. In the same manner, you will look and say, if I want to start picking money, I could, but the kind of things I'm seeing, that's a waste of time. Picking money won't create wealth. I want to be creating wealth. That's why you don't need to sit down doing pools betting, you know, whether you can increase money, because you are not creating anything. And finances would not flow towards you like that. it will flow towards you as a consequence of the creation that is coming out of your hand. And listen, his marvelous works, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, are his glory, the marvelous things that he has done. So what we are saying, men fell short of the glory of God. What we are saying is that they were no longer able to create wealth. What I'm saying, I believe you are catching it. Come on, listen. That is the secret in the blood of Jesus. That is why men will get up and speak. Sometimes they are not even quoting scriptures. They are not teaching the gospel per se. But by virtue of the light that God has caused their eyes to see, they are doing things. And they start teaching men those things. And let me tell you what. There is always this bridge of faith. I call that my own mental word for it. In that when God wants to bless men, he looks for somebody. And that person usually will have faith enough to take that blessing out of God's hands. But human beings usually have very little problems. They only have very little problems when it comes to having faith in that person because they can see that person. Do you understand my point? It's easier to see, to have faith in somebody you can see. That's why James said that, how can you say you love God that you cannot see? When the one you can see, you have not demonstrated any love towards him. It's usually easier. That's why a man wants to create something. I call it the law of the pioneer. He has to dig deep into the realm of the spirit before God opens his eyes to see something material. The moment he sees it, it's very simple. If you come, let me show you something. That person can relate. Move your eyes this way, he looks. Move it this way. He demonstrates to the person. You see, the rate of change of momentum is directly proportional to the force applied. It's easy to explain it after God has opened your eyes. Do you follow the point I am making? I am saying, therefore, that the sacrifice of Jesus, the purging power in his blood, is actually the real foundation for the creation of wealth. When you say men should give their life to Christ, you know, everywhere I go to preach, I always say that, so even in some campus. I said, anybody telling you that, give your life to Christ so that, you will be happy, you know what I'm trying to say, you know, that the road is happy. You ask the person, is he really happier than you? You understand the point I'm making? Some of the people who are preaching to the people, some people are not happier than the people. They are actually miserable. You understand what I'm saying? And they are jealous of your freedom. So they want to preach so that you will get into their misery also. And they will not say they have won a soul for who really I don't know. No, really. So I always tell people when I'm preaching, I say, listen, you know the meaning of the gospel? You have been struggling and struggling and failing every course. The gospel means, let me give you understanding so you can pass. That one, I'm not going to beg you, may you follow me, go on fellowship. It's the one that said, this your earring is too long. Jesus wants short earrings. You're not told the person anything. Really, you haven't. You haven't. You haven't. Listen, when the disciples, apostles used to preach, people would say, what must we do to be saved? Not Peter, you've been visiting my house too much. I don't want to believe now for us. Are you going to say something that, look, me, I know the big person. Like, we are teaching here. There are people I feel I owe it to invite. And I tell you once, I remind you once, making twice, and I don't tell you again. And I see you every day, I will not tell you. Why? Because the Igbo man says, come chop, no become work. Abi? That is the way it is. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. That is the secret. That's what we call gospel. Really, that is what gospel is. Let us pray. I want us to just take a few prayer points before we go. Just say, God, remember something I said at the beginning. If you don't tell them that your welfare is accomplished, your welfare has ended, men will remain in captivity. Just speak to God and say, I thank you because now I understand that actually I have understanding to be able to see things that men can't see. Now I am asking you, Lord, give me my own portion that I can see it. I receive clarity because I have believed in Jesus. I can see the glory of God. In the realm of creation of wealth, I can see, I have the ability to see the glory of God. For that reason, I can attend to that place that I can see. I will no longer be short of God's glory. That I am living my life to walk into that glory. God, show me my own glory that I can receive it. That there is something that you have given to me to do. In it, I will be fruitful. And I will multiply. God, just show me what it is that's my portion and I will receive it. Now I know. I have understanding. He said, they know not, neither do they understand. Therefore, they walk on in darkness. Say, God, now I know, so I should no longer be in darkness. Sin is what blinds men. Righteousness opens their eyes. Jesus has opened my eyes because of my faith in him. I am a righteous person. Oh, in the blood of Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. It purges my heart from dead works. Therefore, I can see the glory of God. And I can walk into it. Father, open my eyes that I can see, that I might see what it is. That is, reveal to me my own portion. Now I can receive it. I can receive it. I can receive it. Because I have come to know that I am a source of prosperity for my land. Everywhere I step into, I put a seed. Even if it is in tears, I put a seed. And my Father, I prophesy that you will pour water upon the seed that I have planted. Say, Father, I am a blessing to my generation. Show me that thing that you have put in me at the sea, as the sea, so I can plant it. Lord, I am a giver. I am not a taker. I give because I walk in the glory of God. I am a giver, not a taker. I have not come to this earth to receive. No, I received from your hand, Father. That is why I have come. Like Paul said, that which I received, I deliver unto you. God, enable me to deliver to my generation that which I have received from your hand. Basokeba. The Lord, I have more understanding than my teachers. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has forgiven me of all my iniquities. I am of superior mentality. I am an intelligent being. I am able to discern divine truths. There is an invention waiting for me to produce. There is a discovery waiting for me to make. There is a truth waiting for me to expound it. Lord, I reach for it tonight and I say it is my portion in the name of Jesus. The covenant I have with you, Father, is that I believe in Jesus and you forgive me of all unrighteousness. That is, I walk into the glory of God. I am able to see the glory of God. That, Lord, nothing can hinder me. I am not afraid of anything. My whole life is in God's hands. It's a seed for my generation. I will be fruitful and I will multiply. I said, I will be fruitful and I will multiply. I will be fruitful and I will multiply. Because Jesus alone has strengthened my hand for war. I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. I am not short by reason of sin, but I am tall by reason of God's glory, by reason of righteousness. I can see it. Thank you, Father God. 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 Oh, to you be all the glory. Roma Cosia da Doshiga.